Good morning. Psalm 130. Out of the depths I cry to you, O Lord. Lord, hear my voice. Let your ears be attentive to the voice of my supplications. If you, O Lord, should mark iniquities, Lord, who could stand? But there is forgiveness with you so that you may be revered. I wait for the Lord, my soul waits, and in his word I hope. My soul waits for the Lord. More than those who watch for the morning, more than those who watch for the morning. O Israel, hope in the Lord, for with the Lord there is steadfast love, and with him is great power to redeem. It is he who will redeem Israel from all its iniquities. This is the word of God for the people of God. My very first mission trip out of the country was in Duverhay, Dominican Republic. I'd never been on a real mission trip up to that point. I'd done some things locally, but to travel outside of the United States was quite different for me, and I wasn't prepared for the things that I saw, particularly the living conditions of those with whom we were serving. They had a way that they made life good for them in the midst of their desperation, in the midst of the type of things they were encountering, things like having a pipe come out the wall for a cold shower, or woven together leaves on a stick, which was used as a broom to sweep their clay floor, or the wild chickens running around in the yard that became our dinner, and the but I mistakenly used it as my wash bucket. Yeah, I still get chills when I think about that. But what I found was so amazing was the peace that I witnessed with everyone, and their approach to life was so much different than even our approach to life here in America. I found myself feeling a little somehow with them, somewhat sad, looking at their conditions, but I realized they didn't feel that same way. What they were exhibiting was peace and joy and contentment. It was something so different. One young girl was sure she would complete secondary school. She was in middle school, and that she would complete secondary school, and then after secondary school, she would come to America. She would go to college. She would get a good job, and life for her would be great. She was anticipating this, and she had no doubts whatsoever that this would happen. On my last day, I had a conversation with a lady who had been to every one of the services, and I neglected to say to you that their activities only consisted of work and church, work and church, work and church. And for children, they would go to school, but then they would do some work, and then that evening we would have church. So I noticed this lady who had four children, and she was at every service. And on my last day, I got an opportunity to speak with her, and I found out that on a weekly basis, she was trusting God for provision. Here she was, a single mom with four children, and every week she had to trust God to provide for her and for her children. And she was just as happy and content throughout the entire time that I had been there. I would have never guessed that she didn't know when her next meal or where her next meal would be coming from. You see, that is what hoping in the Lord is about. That is what hope in the Lord looks like. You see, we find ourselves in hopeless situations, and when we find ourselves in those situations, we must have a hope beyond ourselves, something that will keep us near and dear to the promises of God, something that we can hold on to in the midst of despair, in a quandary, in sadness, in sickness, in fear, in anxiety, whatever the case may be, there must be a hope, an assurance, something beyond us that we can hold on to. Somehow, somewhere, we need to find stable ground to keep us. One of my favorite hymns is the hymn that we sang, "My Hope is Built on Nothing Less Than Jesus' Blood and Righteousness." And I particularly like the second verse where it says, "When darkness veils his lovely face, I rest on his unchanging grace. In every high and stormy gale, my anchor holds within the veil." And then the chorus, "On Christ the solid rock I stand." What I found in study is that it's interesting that life sometimes is so dark for us, it veils Christ's shining light. It's the darkness that we find ourselves in the situations that magnify themselves so much so that we can't even see Christ. We're so engrossed in this situation. We don't remember God's unchanging grace. It's moments like this when we have to rest and rely on that unchanging grace and know that behind the darkness of whatever is happening, that there is Christ. And that is where we find our hope. So we can rest and rely and confidently trust that God is going to bring us through, bring us out of whatever we are facing. He is our only hope. And I also found and have witnessed myself that in times like this, in times like these, when we're facing situations, we want Christ to respond quickly. Almost like Christ on demand. Glad y'all got it. Christ on demand, come quickly, come to my aid, rescue me. It's almost like we just want to say, this is happening, so let me pull you down right quick, come fix it, and then we go on about our way. And if you're like me, you know that Christ is not on demand, and he doesn't respond in our timing. Sometimes he's very slow. And it's in those times where we must know that our hope is secure and that there is a solid rock that we actually can stand on. There is an assurance that Christ is there with us, for us, and will take us through this dark place. And then we can see that light of his unchanging grace in our lives. Proverbs 13:12 says, "Hope deferred makes the heart sick." We all know how that feels. We've all had situations and times where we have felt that way. I don't want you to raise your hand, but just think of a dark time or a dark season that perhaps you felt this way. And your hope, the hope, that season, it wasn't as quickly revealed in a way. And so you find yourself wondering, praying, seeking, trusting, trying to hold on to some hope, something. I remember there was a season, a dark season in my life, and I felt that way. I could hardly eat. Sleep escaped me. I remember just feeling so lost, so hopeless, just lying there. And it was so bad, it felt like I could hardly even breathe to take a breath. Now, that's my I story, but I'm sure you have yours. A time when Christ felt so far off, or a season that was difficult. In this text, this psalmist is pretty much explaining that to us as we hear and we look at it. The Psalms has components of an individual lamenting before God, almost a pleading. Oh God, come, Lord Jesus, come, come, show up, redeem me, offer aid, offer assistance to Israel. Oh come, Lord Jesus, come, come. This is what this text, this psalmist is saying in verses 1-4. We hear him. And then he adds to it, and forgive me, as if he's done something wrong, why God seems so far off. Hear me, O God, hear me, and forgive me. Isn't that like us sometimes, where we are so engrossed in our situation and God is not answering quick enough, we start thinking, well, forgive me. Did I do something wrong? Or what's causing you not to respond? I remember another time just needing God to answer some prayers and just really seeking God. And this one lady told me, she said, listen, what you need to do is pray and fast. Not only do you need to pray and fast, but you need to get up at 5 o'clock in the morning and do your prayers. You need to go to bed early so that you can wake up at 5 and do your prayers. You need to make sure that you're reading scripture and that you're memorizing scripture. You need to make sure that you're not gossiping, that you're not doing it. And she gave me a litany of things. I was so tired. I was like, you know what? I can just handle this on my own if I have to do all of that. But sometimes we may even feel like we have to do something to get God to respond. In this text, we can see the implication that this is something very serious because the metaphor in the depths, this is not an easy thing. In the depths of my darkness, I'm crying out to you, the psalmist says, in the depths, this darkness, this place. He's just saying, God, rescue me, come to my aid, hear me. Essentially, he's just asking for God's attention, his attention into his situation, and hence the repentance. I'll do whatever you need, I'll do it. Just hear me. Pay attention to what is happening. He feels that he must plead with God so that God can answer. Have you ever felt that way? Not necessarily the forgiveness aspect of it, but it could be something else. It could be provision. Oh God, just please provide. Make a way. Maybe like that single lady with 4 kids. Just make a way. Or perhaps it's not that, it's a cry or a plea for help. Oh, I just can't do this on my own. God, help. Come to my aid. Come to my rescue. Or could be some mental anguish, the torment, your mind. Oh, God. Just release these anxieties, these fears, these situations. Just give me peace of mind. Could be relational. Lord, if you don't get this person out of my face, I don't know what I'm going to do. Could be educationally. The degree is too much. The dissertation is too strenuous. It could be paperwork. It could be whatever the case may be. But you find yourself in a situation where you're saying, hear me, oh God, hear me. Pay attention. This is my plea. I need you. When I find myself in these situations, I start off like this because I know I've experienced God before. I start off with, hey, 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 it's Jawanda. Hey, God. Hello. Hey, hey, it's me. It's me. I'm your favorite, remember? Hear me, because this is a biggie I'm about to present. And then in verses 5 through 8, we hear the waiting aspect of it. He's waiting for the Lord to respond. After we pour it out our hearts, we wait. Waiting is a form of trusting God. Waiting is a position, a participatory position of a statement of our trust in the Lord. We don't have the answer. We don't know how it's coming. We don't know when it's coming. We are participating in this hoping and this trusting that God is going to come through. So the waiting aspect is sometimes difficult. And in those difficult times, what I have found that helps is to remember, if God did it then, God can do it now. If he did it back then, he will do it here. You see, back then is not our current reality, but in our current reality, we can have the hope and the trust and the assurance that God will meet us right there. Isaiah 40:31, they that wait upon the Lord shall renew their strength. You've heard this. They shall mount up with wings like eagles. They shall run and not be weary. They shall walk and not faint. The NIV says, they that hope in the Lord. So essentially, we do not lose heart. We do not waver. We hope and we trust and we believe. And whatever the situation, whatever the outcome, our hope is in the Lord, knowing that God does hear, God does care. And in the midst of this, our hope is on the solid rock of Jesus Christ and his unchanging grace. I have found that we can actively wait. And how do we actively wait? One of the things that is a helper to increase our faith is waiting with the Word of God. The Word, the Bible, is a good medicine. It brings healing to bruised areas, light in dark places. It gives us instructions and guidance. It helps us in these times of darkness where Christ's face is veiled and we can't see our way out. I'm a believer that we saturate ourselves with the Word of God. Now, some people think that's extreme. And I may be considered a little extreme. But I believe that the Word of God works. I believe that the promises of God, we can stand on them. They are sure. And so it's not just reading the Word, it's meditating on the Word. It's not just reading our daily bread or a devotional. It's reading and it's memorizing and it's thinking through it and it's praying it back to God and it's giving it back to God and saying, your Word says this in this situation. And as that happens, it helps because it's a solid foundation. The foundation of our faith. John Wesley says the scriptural foundation of our salvation. The Word works. Recently, I visited a home and in that home, I noticed that they had scripture posted all over every place, in the bathroom, on the doorpost, on the mirror. And as I thought through that, I said, wow, this family has an assurance of God, and they're standing on a solid foundation. Another way that we can actively wait is to submerge ourselves in an atmosphere that encourages hope and trust. You know how it is when we get a bad diagnosis. Some people will come around and say, oh, poor. No. We want to saturate ourselves in a place and submerge our atmosphere in hope and trust. And how does that look? We refuse to allow any negativity in our space. We refuse to allow any doubt. We refuse. We speak the word and we live on the word and we stand on the word. And then we do what Proverbs 18:21 says, death and life is in the power of the tongue. So whatever that situation is, the current reality, we speak life to it according to the scriptures. And our atmosphere matches that. Let me give you an example so I can make it a little bit more succinct. It's like children. We are careful what we let them see and what we let them hear. We're careful about the friends with whom we allow them to associate with. Why? Because we are trying to protect and nurture and trying to shield them. And it's the same with us. Our spirit must be infused with faith, with hope, with trust. So, what do we listen to? What do we say? Who do we hang around? Things of that nature where some people will say, oh, that is just too much. No, it's an assurance that all my hope and trust is in God and God alone, and everything else is sinking sand. Everything else is sinking sand. Most recently, I had to release some relationships that did not fall in line with my future. It takes nothing from them and nothing from me. It's just that I saw something different, and that is where I needed to go. And so my hope is in God. Sometimes we make those hard decisions for a better tomorrow or a better way. Out of the depths of life, out of the depths of our soul, we call on the Lord. Out of the crevices of our past and in the way of our situations and the winds that toss and turn us, we must find that glimmer of light. We must find that hope, that trust, that security in a God that has unchanging grace. And we stand on a solid foundation. I close with this story about a little dying boy, 10-year-old boy. In this city, there was a hospital that wanted the children who were in hard situations, terminal situations, they wanted them to have their education to continue, and so they would have the teachers, a teacher to come in and to teach them the lessons of their classroom so that once they returned and they were recovered, they could go back and stay on point. So this one teacher, she went in to do her job, basically just to teach, and her assignment was to teach this 10-year-old boy adverbs and nouns. She didn't necessarily do her due diligence about the situation the little boy was in, so she just went, she picked up her information, went to the hospital room, and she was not prepared for what she walked into. The little boy had been burned over 98% of his body. And they pretty much given up hope. He was dying. And so when she walked in and she saw that, she was taken aback. And the only thing she could get out was, "I'm here to teach adverbs and nouns." So she looked at him a little more and tried to get it out, and she's looking at the situation. It looks bleak. She knows what she's seeing, and so she tried it again to kind of get the lesson going. I'm here to teach adverbs and nouns. And she had to get her composure, so she really could not say anything more, so she exited the room. When she left, the little boy started to improve. That evening, he improved some. The next day, the nurses were wondering that his situation had changed. The next day, it got a little bit better. 2 weeks into this, they were like just scratching their heads. And they said, "What did you do to the little boy? Because after you left, things changed. It got better." And she was like, "All I said was I'm here to teach adverbs and nouns." No, you must have done something else. "All I said was I'm here to teach adverbs and nouns." So they asked the little boy. He could still hear, and he said to them his response. "You see, I heard some conversations. I overheard conversations, and I knew I was dying. But then my school sent a teacher to teach me adverbs and nouns. So I figured if they sent a teacher to teach me adverbs and nouns, there was no way I was dying." The point. This dying child lived because of hope. Hope in adverbs and nouns. Those adverbs and nouns saved his life. And he was able to have a full recovery and walk out of the hospital. What about us? Our hope is in Christ. Our hope is in one who loves us. Our hope is in a God who cares deeply about every situation, everything that happens in our lives. I invite you to find your own adverbs and nouns. In that situation, whatever the situation may be, however it may play itself out, and to know that you are not in it alone, that God is with you, and that you can rely on God. You can hope in the Lord. One way I keep my faith is through song. I'm singing all the time. But there's this one tag of a song that I sing just whenever I may be in one of these situations. And so I'm going to sing that tag just a little bit. And as I sing, I want you to ponder and to think, what is your adverb or noun? that you can find hope in, to know that you are standing on a solid rock. Everything else, everything else is sinking sand. My faith looks up to thee. Thou Lamb of Calvary, Savior divine, now hear me as I pray. My guilt away, oh, let me from this day be holy thine. We have hope in the Lord. Amen. Our hymn of benediction is, hymn of dedication, sorry, Breathe on Me, Breath of God, hymn 420. The grace of our Lord rest, rule, and abide with us now. O God, help us to trust and to rely on you, to have that confident hope that it's on your solid rock that we stand, and we are covered in your unchanging grace. Until we meet again, this is our prayer. Amen.
Oh.